Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Jacob, Bree, and Aki are here. How are you three doing?
Stressed.
Why are you stressed?
I'm doing better.
I am stressed because I'm going home tomorrow, everybody.
Oh.
And that means I have to leave the house, which is extremely stressful for me because I'm agoraphobic. I don't like leaving the house for any reason.
I've gotten
used to being here. Yeah. And then on top of that, I'm getting on a plane, which I don't trust.
Even on a jet plane.
When you'll be back again.
Presumably like 4 hours after your flight.
I leave at 10 p.m. on Friday and I get to my house at, I think, 5 a.m. the following morning. Granted, for everyone who doesn't know, there's like a 3 hour time difference in between, so it's not 10 to 5. So
it'll be good. And then when you get home, you'll have your Series X waiting for you.
Yep, I'll have to set up my internet and hope that there's no problems, because remember when I was having all that internet problems a while back?
Oh yeah.
While I was gone, I had the new stuff that Spectrum sent me set up. So I still have to set up my router, I think is what it's called, so it can connect to both my computer and my Xboxes and stuff.
The new modem you have might be a gateway with the router built in. I don't know what equipment.
Sadly, it's not.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, it is.
I was mad when we got Xfinity. Our gateway only had like 3 ports on it instead of 4, and we were struggling to decide what to plug in. So we just bought another box, split the internet like another 4 ways.
The one I used to have had 2, and so it was my Xbox, and it was one of my Xboxes, and it was my computer all the time. That's it. If I needed it in something else, I just unplugged it from one of my Xboxes and plugged it into another one.
I have to have 4. Like, there's just no way around it.
Yeah, we have my computer hardwired, my Series X hardwired, the PS5 hardwired, and we need to have our camera system hardwired. Yeah,
everything of mine is hardwired or it's not connected because I just don't use wireless. I turn wireless off on everything.
Why?
I don't really need it.
He's on my phone.
On my phone, I have 5G that's free on my phone, so I just use that.
Wi-Fi's quicker, though. So all the only porn thing you're watching in the bathroom?
I do that at my desk. I don't give a shit. Hey, I'm honest, folks. I don't care if you know.
Do you do this at your grandpa, like at your grandparents' house?
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, all right. Because I was like, oh, geez, don't go anywhere near Rocky's house for the first few days after she gets back.
DJ booth wherever she wants.
You just open up the door and like all this just like water just spills out.
Sometimes.
Like a cartoon where like the tub is overflowing and you open the bathroom door and it's just all water.
Yeah. Oh,
the whole room is filled to the top.
Yeah, on my phone, the only thing I do is update my apps, and occasionally I'll get on Discord to post a picture that I took with my phone. That's it. I don't really use the internet on my phone for anything because I have, you know, my computer for that.
Yeah. Poor Acolyte's right. We are
SML After Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's what I'm good for, yo. It doesn't matter what I talk about. It should all be... It should be Aki After Dark, just in general. Just anytime Aki I talk.
After Dark.
But,
no, don't.
Jacob After Dark.
No.
Who wants some beard oil?
Fucking what?
Who else could be After Dark? Matt PA After Dark.
Oh, I'm so full of milk.
Oh, that wasn't the one that you should have used. But.
I mean, which one would you have used?
Nut goes in the butt. That nut goes in the butt.
That's Big Adam, though.
Oh, I'm so full of milk.
There you go. Use them together.
You guys are a bunch of ball bags.
I just three got people, that clip this week on wrestling. One wrestler was in the ring, and he's like, now I know why they call this Sacktown.
You guys are a bunch of ball bags.
Yep.
That's a pretty good one-liner for Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. So, Bree, how are you doing?
I'm doing a little bit better than I was earlier this week, so that's good.
As a positive. Sick.
Yeah, I've been sick. It's, you know, one of those things.
Sick is bad.
Yeah.
Just leave that up to Jacob.
What?
Being sick.
Being sick.
Oh, yeah, I'm still sick, too.
Oh, GG.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just, you know, it's just hanging around for like a week and a half. So.
Let me ask this. When was the last time you weren't sick at this point? Because it feels like you're sick really, really regularly.
Oh. I don't know. I think January went pretty well.
Wow.
January 2023. I don't know.
The pause between her asking and you answering was so long that truncate silence is going to have to fix that.
It's funny.
How old are my kids? They're 10 and 7.
Oh my God. Are they really that old?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why are we getting so old?
Because as time goes on, we get older and so do they. Okay.
So another 9 years and you shouldn't be getting sick anymore constantly. So there's that at least.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad Aki has suddenly revealed that she's a pediatrician. And, you know,
I just know once the kids become teenagers, you're going to be doing a lot better because they're not going to be bringing everything home.
Yeah, unless you start bringing home other things like
girls.
I don't think you're going to catch any of boys, that stuff. I don't know. But,
significant others.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah, because as my kid's getting older and he's like, oh, like I want to start being able to do like various things. And it's just like, I started thinking of how I was when I was like a young teenager. And I'm just like, oh God. Oh no. I don't want to be in this house anymore. No.
Think of all the socks you're going to be cleaning.
Oh, I ain't cleaning. No, no. Like I've actually preemptively started beating that because what I now have the kids do is that they now know how to do laundry.
So nice.
both of them. And so Saturday is their day to use the washer and dryer. And so I am never, ever going to have to touch one of those kinds of socks ever. God.
That you know of.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Bree, I really could have lived without that, but thanks.
God. Oh man, you know who else is sick? Everyone watching our stream right now with the new stream additions I put on our layout. I don't know if you saw the stream lately, Jacob.
Yeah, there's my face plastered all over the place. Thanks.
I know what makes me want to be sick, so
Are you sure? I figured it would have made you aroused.
I mean, I used to have like the donation bar there, but I don't like getting donations because I don't like asking for stuff. I'll just put your fucking face there instead.
Why my face?
Who else's face should I put there?
I mean, you could put a Bree or Aki. Bree,
do you want your face? I don't even know what Aki fucking looks like.
I don't either.
Yes, you do. I've sent you a picture.
From what? Like when you were like, what, 15?
In high school, I think.
Yeah.
No, I was 17 or 18 in that.
Yeah, that's high school, dumbass.
Yeah, as I said, high school.
All right, so let's run it through like an AI age filter. Like,
we can figure out what. Oh, I don't look like any different. I'm fatter. That's it. I look the exact same.
Aren't we all? Yeah. My buddy from college. He showed off some of the photos from his photography class that he found, and he used us as roommates, like as various subjects for him. Don't worry, they were all tasteful.
Sure.
But a bunch of them were like
the historical context.
They were roommates.
I'm glad you understood that.
But
smell after dark.
A bunch of them were action shots, like, you know, us jumping off of stuff, like falling off of stuff, like all that kind of stuff. Anyway, like we're just looking through them and they're like, holy shit, we were so much skinnier back then.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm pretty fat too. I need to do something.
No, really?
Shut the fuck up. At least people know what I look like.
Yeah.
Aki, you should send me this photo so then I can finally, you know, gaze upon your beauteous countenance. Aki's just like, oh god, my internet connection went away. How strange.
Oh, one of my cats just did a number in this room. Oh.
Like, oh. What?
Do you need to step away to go clean that up, or?
No, they're burying something, but man.
Yo, my dog is getting older, and like, I swear to you, like, his farts are getting worse. Like, and he started doing, like, all these, like, silent but deadlies. Oh my god, Joe's spraying shit. But yeah, vanilla. Like, and it's really weird because, like, if he eats something that's out of his normal diet, we'll eventually start smelling it in the farts. And, like, the other day, my oldest kid spilled a bunch of Cheerios on the floor when he was making himself breakfast. And, of course, Angus runs over and is like, rah, 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 rah. And, like, I'm working, like, and later in the morning, like, Angus is laying next to me as I'm at work. And all of a sudden, I just hear this... And it, like, the room reeked of Cheerios and farts.
I didn't even know Cheerios had a smell.
Cheerio farts. Oh my god.
Like, I'm just thankful, like, it wasn't, like, something worse on his stomach. Like, because back when I was a teenager, I was at this Christmas party that one of the kids in my youth group, his parents were throwing. And, some of the kids decided to feed their family dog a peppermint stick. And, like, and yeah, like, so not only did the dog get the runs, but like, he was just like, he initially first, like, just sorry. And like, it just sounded like it sounded awful. And the whole goddamn room smelled so bad. But
that's, I love hearing stories like this because I can't even fathom what it smells like, but listening to you guys talk about how bad it is just makes me so happy.
Do you not have a sense of smell?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I've never had one. I was born without it.
Damn.
How many, do you breathe out of both sinuses at the same time?
Maybe she's aquatic and breathes out her ears or something.
No.
So?
No, like when you breathe out of your nose, do you breathe out of both nostrils or just one?
I think both.
How the fuck do you keep saying I think? Just fucking test it. Put your finger in front of your nose.
Right now my nose is stuffed up, so.
Oh my god.
Explain why, Jacob. What's the point? What are you getting at?
So the thing is that like, I'm asking because Aki may have like a deviated septum in her nose, and the thing is that if she does, that could actually be preventing her from first off breathing correctly, but second, it can seriously hamper your sense of smell.
The septopic dysplasia, one of the effects of it is that you may be born without a sense of smell, and that's why I don't smell, is because of that. Has to do with why I'm always hungry and don't feel content.
What does that have to do with your Gunpla collection?
Anyway, should we get to news?
Sure.
I'm going to be trying to figure out that combination of stuff. Yeah, so yeah.
Latest rumors is that Gears of War Collection is going to be coming out this August on Xbox and PS5 and will not feature PvP.
Oh, good. So maybe that means they got rid of all the really shitty seriously achievements. Maybe I'll actually get that then.
Yeah,
the game is okay. It's not amazing or anything, but it's perfectly serviceable.
I love the Gears games.
Seriously. I just find them okay.
Yeah,
mostly because a bunch of roided up dudes is Anya's cute.
She can't fap to that.
Hey, Anya's in the game. It's fine. There's always a cute lady in the game.
Well, the rumor popped up because apparently the game is already loaded onto the PS5 store backend. Someone who has knowledge with the PS5 store apparently confirmed that it's there, and it popped up on Reddit's gaming leaks and rumors section from some supposedly trustworthy sources. I could see it happening, especially with E-Day coming out next year or later this year, whenever it shows up. It's just one more game going to PS5. It's so weird to see happen, but Microsoft spent so much money to acquire the Gears license to keep it off PlayStation, and now they're putting it on PlayStation.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought they owned Gears. I thought they had always owned Gears.
No, it was an Epic property.
Yeah.
Oh.
They bought it from Epic.
I didn't know that. Interesting. As we can see, everybody, how much I pay attention to these things.
There was a NatCon Connect event that happened today. Did anyone see that?
Nope.
I didn't even know it happened.
Same here.
Well, a handful of games were announced. Cthulhu the Cosmic Abyss was announced.
Ooh.
Edge of Memories.
Is the Cthulhu game a romance game?
Hey, kids. Doubt it, but maybe.
Nice.
What was this? The NatCon what?
Connect.
I'll watch it.
Nolan, thank you for the follow. Welcome in. A new Styx game, Blades of Greed. That one caught me by surprise.
A new what game?
Styx.
Styx.
As in?
Stealthy Goblin Dude.
I am kind of hyped for that. Because I do love the Styx games.
I don't know what that is, because I was also really confused, because I thought it was the band.
No,
you play as a little goblin, and you're fighting against orcs and humans and stuff, but you're really stealthy, so you have to assassinate them from behind, or else they kill the shit out of you. They're really fun games. The second game is broken on Xbox, and they didn't feel like fixing the problem. They knew exactly what it was, and didn't care.
Guards of Darkness is the broken one?
If you look up,
it was the second one on Xbox. If you look up what?
If you look them up on TA in the forums,
that's a good call.
You can see one of them is broken. And it's because they were trying to find the Steam API or something instead of whatever it was supposed to be on Xbox. And they were alerted to it almost immediately, and they just didn't care, which is a shame. Or else I would have bought that game, because I really liked the first one. It was so damn fun.
It's made by the people who make the Tour de France games.
I didn't know that either. Interesting.
They showed a new video for Hell Is Us.
Nice. I'm excited for that game.
And holy shit. Like, that almost is like almost everything that they do. they're like, yeah, Tour de France, and yeah, we'll make a fantasy game every once in a while.
Didn't they do a Vorks and Men as well?
Yeah, they did Blood Bowl and the Game of Thrones RPG from way back in the day.
They showed off the Mound Omen of Cthulhu, so another Cthulhu game. This one coming from Ace Team.
Hmm. Nice.
And then the last game they showed off, RoboCop Rogue City Unfinished Business, a standalone follow-up to Rogue City.
I heard nice. About I'm that. Excited I'm excited. That. Yeah.
By the way, Jacob, I know it's on your wish sale. List. It is on sale for cheap.
I heard. Yeah. It's like $10 or $12 Nine. For the Alex Murphy edition.
$14 for that one, I think.
It was $13.99.
Not too long ago. Damn it all to hell.
Let's see.
Yeah, a bunch of,
just a few weeks ago.
A bunch of Nacon games are on sale. RoboCop Rogue City is 67% off. Raven's Watch is 40% off. Taxi Life is 60%. And Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown Gold Edition is 50% off.
You know what? So
if you're RoboCop looking to get any Rogue of those, there you go.
RoboCop Rogue City, it's the Steam version where the Alex Murphy edition, I think, is $9.99.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I got that recently, played through the whole thing in like 2 or 3 days. That was actually a really fun game. I really liked it.
Yeah. I've heard good things about it.
Crybaby's you Magic Tears, totally the big it. Game, is also on sale, too.
Golem's okay, on then. Sale for $10 if you want it.
I know. I'm like,
That's still about $50 too much.
Yeah.
Wait.
So can't be as bad as King Kong.
No, I'd probably play King Kong before I'd play it.
I think I actually need to go play Golem just so I can give commentary as to which one was worse. But yeah,
I can like, almost 100% guarantee Kong, you Golem's going to be worse.
I don't know about that. I really don't. Like, King Kong was impressively bad in its own right.
King Kong was really bad.
Yeah, but you could get all the achievements in it, at least.
Maybe, if you could stomach it.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, yeah, theoretically you could if, like, you're, like, glutton for punishment.
I've watched two different people at my house play King Kong. Neither lasted more than a half hour.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Game Pass news. We got a couple of new games coming to Game Pass. Out now, Monster Train is available now. And One Lonely Outpost, I believe, on PC is out. Okay. March 11th, we're getting Enter the Gungeon.
Again.
Nice.
Yep.
And I was very disappointed to find out that Monster Train was not a monster dating sim.
Oh, God.
Just because you want them to run a train on you does not mean they would name the game that.
False advertising.
March 13th, Mullet Matt Jack is joining.
I've never heard of that.
Like a first-person boomer shooter, I think.
Yeah.
Then I'm excited. March 18th, my birthday, 33 Immortals hits game preview.
Woot. Very nice. I'm excited for that. That game looks indeed. So good.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff leaving Game Pass, and there's a lot of big stuff leaving Game Pass. Evil West, Eyes of P, No More Heroes 3, Solar Ash, SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated, and Yakuza 5 and 6.
Damn. That's almost exclusively really damn good games.
Yeah. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but... Go ahead. What were you saying, Bree?
Oh, I was just saying I really wanted to play Evil West. I feel like it wasn't on there that long.
It wasn't.
Yeah. And then a lot of people were expecting MLB The Show 24 to leave because it's been a year. But maybe it'll be the end of the month? I don't know. It wasn't on the Xbox list. So
I'm curious if they're just going to leave it there. Because 25 didn't move.
They might. I don't know. 25 is not joining, though. Unfortunately, that was mentioned a couple of months ago that it will not be on Game Pass or PS Plus. So if you want to play MLB The Show 25, you got to buy it.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Let's see. Tony Hawk 3 and 4 Remastered officially announced, coming out July 11th, will be on all platforms and Game Pass.
Woot. Although nice. I did hear something about there's not going to be a career mode or something. And that was...
Yeah, they removed the supposedly the career mode from Tony Hawk 4 has been removed. And also Bam Margera is not showing up in the skaters list.
Yeah.
Man. But from I can what understand
that one.
Well, I mean, he was apparently hanging out with Tony Hawk like a few weeks ago, but I'm wondering if it's because somebody had said that in career mode, Bam shows up quite a bit. And yeah. So if he's not in there, then yeah.
Oh, well. Some sad news. Studio Fizbin, makers of the Inner World series, will be shutting down this spring after their game Rainbreaker releases.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Monster Hunter Wild sold 8 million copies in 3 days.
Wow.
That does not shock me.
I believe they said it is already Capcom's best-selling game ever. Like, their best-performing game ever.
Yeah, for people who like that, that game is 100% just crack. So it doesn't shock me that that sold so well. I'm honestly kind of surprised it didn't sell even better just because of all the people I know who play that.
8 million is nothing crack. To sneeze at.
Not at all.
8 million is a lot of fucking copies. And then last bit I have is that I took part in a little thing called the Nova Game Expo this past week. It was an online web-based game convention with different booths set up and demos to try. I wanted to put some time into this and check it out. We got an offer through Keymailer to check it out, so I wanted to give it some time, explore some demos. I couldn't move the fucking camera with the controller. Like, I could walk with a controller, but I couldn't move the camera. So I had to walk with the controller and move the camera with my mouse. And then when I wanted to interact with something, I had to let go of the mouse, go back to the controller. It was really hard to enjoy it. The character moved ungodly slow. I believe the demos were browser-based, but some could be downloaded as well. It's something that could have potential for the future, but it needs more love. Like, it needs to perform better. Give me a fucking run option. Let me use my controller for everything. Like, it has promise, but maybe next year will perform better if they do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll get better now that they, know some of the issues with it.
I hope so. Hopefully they listen, get some feedback. I wanted to talk about it more, but I couldn't. Just, I couldn't really do anything on there. It was too much of a pain in the ass and hard to enjoy, but it's a cool idea and concept. Execution leaves a little to be desired. But Aki, what news do you have?
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 is coming to Xbox and to Game Pass.
Didn't we just mention that?
I don't know. I was...
Well, no,
we talked about all the news and I start to drift off a little, to be honest. I so rarely have news and I didn't hear you expressly say this time, so I was like, maybe it hasn't been talked about.
But I did, because we talked about Bam Margera.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was Bree who first brought it up, and usually you're clinging to every single word she says. Rude.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Bree.
Yeah, I'm rude. It's fine. Well, I'm bringing it up again anyways. That was it. That was the only bit of news I knew.
All right.
It's me. We're lucky I had that much.
You should have told me you had news. I would have removed it from mine.
I have a lot of PlayStation-related news, apparently. Ballistic Moon, the developer for the Until Dawn remake, is effectively closed. There were layoffs back in September, right before their October release. In December, there were some more layoffs, and now it seems like there really isn't anyone left to do patches for the game.
Ooh.
Damn.
So, yeah. Not sure what's going on with that. Forza Horizon 5 is one of the top pre-orders on PlayStation 5 right now.
Very cool.
Nice.
Good to see more people get into that one. Now, please announce Forza Horizon 6, please.
Yes, that would be cool.
Please.
PlayStation 3 just released, they just got a new update that improves their system performance. It's only been 19 years since the console release, and they're getting, they're still getting updates to the PlayStation 3. So there you go. Let's see.
Cool. What was it, like a Blu-ray update? I think on PS3, it's some kind of...
Yeah, I didn't see what the update
key update was. Something like that.
Improved system performance is kind of the key I got. Let's see. Also on my list is Tony Hawk.
What about him?
There's sort of 3 and 4 coming out on Game Pass.
And also, never mind.
All right. But seriously, Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Uh-oh.
Disney Dreamlight Valley players are being hit with surprise multiplayer bans. Jacob, did you get banned?
No, I also haven't. I haven't logged in yet. Like last couple of days.
There's a bunch of bans supposedly going around without anyone seemingly violating any rules. This could be due to exchanging items that have been like dupe tricks were used without their knowledge. You can submit a ticket if you believe you've received a ban in error. It'll just remove you from the multiplayer. So just something to be aware of right now. They're doing.
So if I had ever been banned, I wouldn't have noticed because I don't ever use the multiplayer.
You don't ever use the multiplayer.
I don't know anyone else that plays.
No. Oh.
I don't feel bad that you don't play it online with anybody. I told you I would play it with you. And then you never contacted me.
What?
Aww.
You did? I thought that was a different game.
No. Well, no, I've offered to play a couple different games with you, and you've never contacted me on any of them.
No, we played that one game once. I don't remember what it was, though, but we did once.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember but what it was either.
If you say we did, then fair.
Because that's how we're Xbox friends. Like, because we had to.
It's against my will.
Actually, I'm pretty sure we added each other to play a game. I don't think we actually ever played it together, though.
Well, we were supposed to
play multiplayer.
Well, yeah, because we were supposed to play Back for Blood together, and we never did.
Nope.
But there was something else. I don't know.
Because you added me just last year.
Riveting conversation. What other news?
That was the end of my news. I figured I honestly figured Jacob was gonna like interrupt me and be all sad or something when I brought up Disney Dreamlight Valley.
I didn't even know about it.
Well, hot damn.
I know.
All right, Jacob, what news do you have?
Okay. Well, Discord is reportedly exploring an IPO, initial public offering, so now Discord will be beholden to the stock market and not its users. Yay.
Yay.
Yay, it's gonna get worse.
So, scientists have developed a device that lets you taste video games. It's called eTaste. It will sit on your lower teeth and it delivers flavors directly into your mouth in response to remote stimuli. And it's going to do this with various flavored gels.
90% of all the taste you would taste in a video game is someone punching you in the face and you tasting blood. Who the hell wants this?
Well, I mean, it could be for like cooking games or I was thinking, you know, more of the 18 and up games.
God.
I don't think anyone wants to taste most of that either. Blech.
Nope.
Jacob's gobbling gallons of cum with this game.
I don't need a VR headset to do that, thank you very much.
Just gotta head back to the corner.
Just hope they don't program asparagus.
Oh, I thought you were about to say, like, just hope they never program pubic lice.
Oh. Now Jacob had to ruin it. Jacob,
go fuck yourself.
All right. Gibson has released two new Guitar Hero controllers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the CRKD ones. I think we talked about these on the last episode. They're not released by Gibson. They're just licensed by Gibson. There's two different versions, a pro and a standard model. And then there's also an Xbox model and a non-Xbox model. I plan on getting the blueberry burst Xbox controller. Hopefully,
that sounds like a fucking Mountain Dew name.
There's a new Mountain Dew coming out at Taco Bell too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kermit's just.
Yeah.
I think it's their passion fruit frenzy one, just relabeled for Taco Bell. Someone found like the production can. Yeah, someone found the production can and it matched the UPC of the one Baja they had either last summer or the year before. But I think it's just that passion fruit frenzy going over to Taco Bell now.
Okay.
So more layoff news. Sony's US studios are getting restructured, and its visual arts studio is going to be hit the worst. They supported first party development, including The Last of Us remasters. And then also Secret Mode, the UK indie publisher behind Still Wakes the Deep. A small number of redundancies there. And also Microsoft is shutting down Skype after
I heard about that.
After they ruined it.
Yeah, which way back in the day we used to record this podcast on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of things we did on the show don't exist anymore, like Mixer.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember Mixer.
It was I liked it better than Twitch, to be honest, but whatever.
For some reason, it would never load properly for me, so I was always stuck with the constant buffering like every 2 seconds, so I hated it.
Oh, yes, it was Thimber's birthday. Happy birthday to Thimber. Happy birthday to Thimber. Happy birthday to Thimber.
And they got 33 spankings.
I don't want to know why Phil Spencer shut down Mixer. Why, Thimber? Why did Phil Spencer shut down Mixer?
Tell us. Tell us everything.
While we're waiting for that, other news, Acclaim is going to be revived. It's going to focus on indie developers and classic franchises.
All right.
And it's nice. One of the people on the board is fucking Jeff Jarrett from AEW. Like the wrestler Jeff Jarrett is nice. One of the people. Yeah, we have a button for this.
Jeff Jarrett!
And
So Rockstar is going to be bringing in Video Games Deluxe, which was the ones who did the GTA trilogy port. They're the ones who fixed it. My bad.
They're
the ones who fixed that port.
And they did L.A. Noire as well, I think.
The boss who worked on L.A. Noire, he's now going to be the head of Rockstar Australia, which is what it's now being called.
Nifty.
So we had that, and some sad news. George Lowe, who is the voice of Space Ghost, passed away, and Roger Ayers, who was the voice of FM Fusion in Grand Theft Auto 4. The musician, he passed away too.
Yeah. So.
That sucks.
There's been a lot of passings lately. Michelle Trachtenberg was a hard one.
Yeah.
She's only 39. Like, she's younger than us. Me, at least.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. You mentioned Mountain Dew. There is a new Mountain Dew coming out that I want. This summer, Canada is getting Mountain Dew Supernova.
Mm.
The absolute best flavor they have ever had, in my eyes at least, is only going to be in Canada. So I want to move to Canada.
All right.
Someone ship me Mountain Dew Supernova from Canada, please. I will pay. any other news, Jacob?
No, I
don't understand what Thimber's saying about Mixer. Well, apparently some folks at Mixer aren't very friendly, and the same, they would say some very wild things. Kappa, well, allegedly.
What no, the Kappa mean? Is an emote.
Oh, okay.
What? Yeah. Saying they would say some wild things, allegedly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good talk.
Anything else? Are we ready for reviews?
That's all I got. I
came up with some news.
Oh my God. What news do you have? Please tell me it's Tony Hawk.
Well, you know, Tony Hawk is coming to Game Pass later this year. It's going to be Tony Hawk.
What?
Pro Skater 3 and 4. I was actually really hoping Jacob was going to bring that up again just so all of us would have, but whatever.
No, I wasn't going to bring that up. But now that you actually do mention that, I do have other news that I did forget to share.
Oh, well, it'll be after mine. And this actually has something to do with a game we're reviewing today. Not me, but matter of fact, it's the first one we're talking about today. Sorry, we're closed. Today got a new game plus mode added to it, some new difficulties added to it, and a time attack mode added to
it.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. so hopefully it'll. Yeah, it is. I don't know if it's on just Steam or if it's on Steam and Xbox. That's something Jacob will have to let us know since.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly haven't fired up my Xbox today, so I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got news of that this morning, so.
Okay.
All right, what else, Jacob?
And that's all my news.
Okay, and so the last bit of news I had, so Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 is getting a deluxe edition or limited edition, whatever, and the cool thing with this is that you actually get a skate deck, limited run that they're doing from Birdhouse Studios, and it looks pretty sweet. It retails for $120, and... going by the prices of everything, that's actually a really good deal.
Yeah, I think they did that with the first game, too, with the skate deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, if you don't give a shit about, you know, saving it for posterity or whatever, that's a really fucking good deal for a skate deck.
Yeah.
Presumably that it, like, is quality.
Yeah, basically what you're doing is you're buying a skate deck and getting a free fucking game for it with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So, go for it, folks.
I think the deluxe edition of the game has the Doomslayer in it as well, too. It's a playable character.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
I did not expect that. Okay.
But,
that's so weird.
So, yeah, so for all of our 35 to 40-year-old listeners, you know, go off and buy a skate deck and try not to die.
I just thought of one more thing I can mention. The season pass details came out for WWE 2K25, and one of the big shocking inclusions is the wrestler Abyss, who never wrestled for WWE. He's been a TNA member only, pretty much, and now he works backstage with WWE, but he's never appeared in WWE as Abyss. So that's kind of a shocking inclusion. So that's pretty cool to see this partnership between TNA and WWE and NXT has been really cool to watch lately. So, good shit there.
I'm not gonna lie, I really love how I almost showed my age by asking a question, because I just assumed that all this shit, you know, just happened not all that long ago. I was like, oh, well, like, because I was thinking as you were saying, like, he's never shown up at WWE. I was like, oh, did he show up in, like, WCW or something? Like, you know, maybe he was TNA. In the over. Yeah, I know, but like, how fucking long ago did WCW go under?
A long time ago.
I know.
You know,
but there are still active wrestlers who wrestled in WCW.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like AJ Styles, he showed up near the tail end of WCW. He's still going.
Almost everything you said with this piece of news is just gibberish to me. The only thing I understand is I enjoy TNA as well.
I think it's waiting for someone to make a comment about that.
Yeah.
It was obviously going to be me. Come on now.
Yeah.
I was thinking it really hard. I just didn't say it.
Yeah, their name was TNA for a very long time. Then they changed it to Impact Wrestling. And then just within the past year or two, they changed it back to TNA. Total nonstop action, by the way.
Yeah, I prefer the other TNA.
Who has the dog?
Yeah, that would be my grandma's dog.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
All right, we ready for reviews then? All the news done?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jacob, you ready?
Yes.
You sounded confused that I asked you.
Sorry, I'm sick, remember? So,
yeah. And brain dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
First game to talk about tonight is Sorry We're Closed, developed by Alamode Games, published by Akupara Games. Released March 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $24.99. Sorry We're Closed is an eccentric, story-driven survival horror game about demons, angels, and what happens when both sides collide. A mix of fixed camera exploration and arcade-style shooting, where Michelle must use her third eye to see between worlds, uncover secrets, and solve puzzles. Jacob, what's going on in Sorry We're Closed?
That is an excellent question, Joe, because this is a pretty wild game. Sorry We're Closed is, it's part survival horror, but it's also a lot of conversations and doing side quests for all these various people. And so you're playing as this woman who recently just got out of a breakup, and it's been difficult for you. And then all of a sudden you run into some trouble, and now you find out that in a few days you are going to be bonded to some sort of demon thing, and you have to figure out what the heck you want to do with your life, and whether you're going to try to prevent it, or whether you're just going to accept it, or some weird mishmash of in between. And
I'm going to do a podcast for 12 years. Said no one ever.
Yeah, oddly, I don't think that that's going to be one of the choices for for the ending.
That's a shame.
But so what it is that you are moving throughout this, this suburb, and there's different stores that you can go into, different people that you can talk to. And in between, what breaks up all those kind of things is either the side quests that you're doing or the main game missions. And theoretically, if you want to, you could ignore all of those side quests that you have to go, that you can do. But if you don't do them, then it's going to really affect the story, and you're going to be losing out on a lot of richness that this game has. And this game very much takes, it's almost as much a homage to older survival horror games like Resident Evil, Silent Hill, even like Alone in the Dark. But it also takes on a very, I would say, Killer 7 or Persona art style, and also just the kind of quirkiness that you get with those discussions that you have with other people. And of course all the side quests that go on. What's really interesting and neat about it is that, the survival horror stuff, first off, you're going to be battling against all these different, demons and evil things or whatever, and you have to use this third eye ability that you soon get from that initial demon that's just hey, you're about to be bonded to pure evil. Ha ha ha. So you get this third eye thing, which allows you to see in between worlds. And the main part of it is that you're supposed to use it for combat. And when you're doing this, it allows you to see the points where you're supposed to be hitting. So it kind of takes like a very arcadey, like House of the Dead kind of thing, like during the boss battles where it's like it would flash like the various positions that you're like parts of the boss's body that you're supposed to hit. It'll do similar stuff like that, except these are the various demon hearts that are all over the place. And so some of the demons, like, they're going to be one shot, one kill, like they're gone. Other ones, you're going to have to strategically shoot your bullets. And of course, with survival horror, you can't just be spitting the bullets like it's candy. You have to save your shots. And also, it's really in your best interest to use that third eye thing whenever you can, especially during boss battles, because it'll make it a hell of a lot easier than you just waving around whatever weapon you have. But you do initially start off with like this knife, butcher knife kind of looking thing. And it sucks to use it. I mean, much like,
yeah,
you know, much like when like you're running around in like the Resident Evil with a knife, like you want to get a gun like as soon as you possibly freaking can. And the pistol and shotgun will quickly become your best friends on this, because aiming the knife never really seems to work out that well. So as soon as you can swap over to a gun, do it. But yeah, the visual style, it's just very bizarre. It's retro looking, but it's also very unique, going with like the kind of cell design that you would see in like Jet Set Radio or the Persona series. And yeah, it's just pretty wild. Oh yeah, sorry, going back to the third eye thing. So you're supposed to use it in combat, but you can also just like walk around the city and just be like, oh, let's see what everyone looks like. And pretty quickly you're going to like realize like, oh shit, like some of these people who are like, oh yeah, you should totally be doing this. Yeah, it turns out they're demons, or some of them might be like more angelic, kind of things. One of the favorite ones that I noticed was that, in this one location, there's these three businessmen who are hanging out together, and you know, they're just being a bunch of assholes, like drunk assholes. And if you use your third eye thing, it turns out it's Cerberus. Like, so you're seeing like three dog heads. Like, I don't know. I thought it was neat. Anyway,
that was funny. I liked seeing that the first time.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and going back with the retro feel for it, like if you want to during the during the survival horror parts, it's very much the fixed cameras that you would see from like Silent Hill and Resident Evil from way back in the day. And there are tank controls. I hated them, but thankfully you can swap them out for more modern controls, and it does make combat a bit easier. But yeah, it's very influenced by survival horror games of yore, but it's like, it's very much its own unique thing.
Unique.
I had a lot of fun with it. It's a bizarre trip. Like, it's not, I want to put it on like the level of bizarre that like you would say, like that you would think of when you played Deadly Premonition way back in the day, but this game actually plays well. So, yeah. Aside from like janky controls at times and like an ineffectual starting weapon, like I don't really have a lot to complain on this one. I thought it was really cool, and if like, this is their debut title? Like, holy shit. I can't wait to see what else they come up with farther down the line.
Cool. Aki, you played this one, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Anything you want to chime in with?
I fucking love this game. It's lesbians galore, and I loved it. the melee weapons are, they're kind of, what's the right
word?
They're
ass.
Yeah, they're fucking trash. You do get upgraded ones. I think you get a better knife, and I believe you also get like an axe or something later on. But even the base pistol is significantly better, because when enemies are coming towards you, even standard ones, when you activate your third eye ability, it actually slows them down and stops them for a little while, and then they start moving normally. With your knife, when you do that, or any of the melee weapons, if you get it right when they start entering the zone, you can't actually reach them. So you've kind of screwed yourself. So it's much easier to use the gun, because you can do it, they enter the zone, and you can immediately just blam, get rid of them. I go for the gun. Exactly as Jacob said, just use the gun, because the knife is trash.
I'm reading up about the devs. It's a duo, Tom and CB, who met online playing PSO in 2006. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Met playing Phantasy Star Online, and now they made a game. That's dope.
That's pretty rad.
I met Jacob stocking groceries, and now we do this shit.
That's I'm lame. So sorry.
All right, sorry, we're closed to $25. Give me a verdict.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Next up, Crowns and Pawns, Kingdom of Deceit. Developed by Tag of Joy, published by Head Up. Released February 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Legends of the past come back to life in this charming point-and-click adventure. Pack your bags and journey with Crowns and Pawns, Kingdom of Deceit through modern-day Europe to uncover the conspiracy behind a cursed relic and the secrets of the king who was never crowned. Bree, what is Crowns and Pawns, Kingdom of Deceit?
So this is a point-and-click adventure that mixes history and mythology set in the modern day. Milda's grandfather has died, and you've inherited the house and everything, but it's in Lithuania. So we have to get there from Chicago in 2 weeks, or the house goes to auction. And of course we're broke. Thankfully, our artist friend is there to help us with an advance on her new show, and we can go to Lithuania. And this is a... As a point and click, it feels like it was built with console in mind. It has buttons mapped to view, interact, and use items. I like that the Y button for the use item shows a little indicator of what's currently selected in your inventory, and you can approach people and places with the object you need selected. You can also combine items in your inventory screen using a similar method. And you can cycle through items on the main screen with a left trigger, or you can open your inventory and use the right stick to select things before backing out. It felt like it wasn't just a point and click made for PC that they tried to like shoehorn into a console. Like they actually like did some stuff with console in mind. Sometimes the hotspots are a little numerous around an area, so it was hard to find the spot I actually needed though. And you have to use the right stick to navigate through the hotspots and the menus and the phone, which was like kind of weird at first. It takes some getting used to for sure. The art is all hand painted. The game's dialogue is all voice acted and very well. There's an environmental music in some of the scenes, like a trumpet that's just playing a small loop of very repetitive music. And your friend Dana just plays like a riff on her guitar, which that part was less pleasant. Otherwise, the music is like in the background is reasonably pleasant, but nothing to write home about. One good accessibility feature was allowing to click to advance on dialogue as opposed to just autoplay, which I set it to so I could take notes. I always appreciate when you have that ability, because as we've seen with some other games, like if you can't read what's going on because of the autoplay, like that's a problem. Hard to get into it. So I'm glad that was an option that you could just set to click to advance. Another nice feature was the ability to dress your character in a variety of ways. Whenever you sleep in the game, you change into your PJs automatically. You start the day with the opportunity to make a new outfit or hairstyle. You can always go back and change at your suitcase or your wardrobe, which was kind of cool. just a little extra layer to the game that made it feel a little more lively and realistic.
And she makes a very good looking gay.
Yes, yes. When you start the game, you get a few questions asked. What you like to do for a living, and they actually have an effect on gameplay later on. Some puzzles and dialogue change based on your answers. Like, I decided Milda was a programmer, so in the library I have to go hack something to get an answer instead of doing other things if I had chosen psychologist or photographer as her profession, which also offers some replayability to the game. You also eventually get a city map that allows you to fast travel between locations. The game auto-saves, but it also gives you 8 manual save slots, which I actually had to use because I missed an achievement in the beginning, so that was handy. A lot of the puzzles
missables?
There are some missables, yes. A lot of the puzzles require you to talk to people multiple times to know what to do. Thankfully, there is a built-in hint system in the form of asking the NPC nearest you what you should be doing next. As with a lot of point and clicks, sometimes you feel like you're throwing objects at a problem until something sticks. And there's a little bit of that in here. And the prologue actually in the game uses chewing gum a lot, which amused me greatly, throwing something at it till it sticks. There's also a notes app on Milda's phone that you can use to engage with a kind of combo puzzle. Like, you get a bunch of objects or clues and you have to combine them in the notes to get the next clue of where to go or what to do. Sorry, I feel like my notes are all over the place. The story takes us to Lithuania, as I mentioned earlier, where we find our grandfather's house in shambles. As soon as we get in the house, there's a loud bang and some footsteps and the sound of broken glass. We get to investigate, and there's a walkie-talkie on the ground with a mysterious man on the other end looking for some documents, and he threatens us for them. The house has been ransacked. We're not quite sure what's going on. But we go stay with our friend who's conveniently a linguist. We just happen to have a friend in Lithuania, even though we're coming from Chicago. I guess, like, the family was from Lithuania originally. And so this linguist can translate the letters we found at our grandfather's house in both Polish and Cyrillic. And we find out that our dad was involved with the KGB on a project about the crown of Vytautas, the Vytautas the Great. And now, despite our mother's insistence, we don't get involved with the mystery of the 15th century treasure. That's exactly what we're going to do. And the story takes us to multiple historic locations trying to track down treasure of the ages. And it's really well done. So, to recap, instead of saying, so yeah, to start off. Because I took that to heart last week. All right, anyway.
Did you notice how, like, Chris did it? Like, everyone's doing
it
now.
Like, twice. Everybody's doing it. It is. I love it. It's funny.
It's funny.
So yeah. So this is a modern...
Give us a recap.
Yeah. To recap, this is a modern point-and-click adventure. The story has the feel of an old historic treasure hunt like Indiana Jones or something, but with less action and more academics. There is a chase and the ever-present threat of the mysterious villain. Once you get the sort of tutorial sections down and learn how the game wants you to operate things, like, it feels pretty logical how you need to use objects and talk to people to get information. The story is interesting, but being point and click, sometimes it feels a little slow. And the hotspots can be challenging to navigate, but overall I had a great time with this one.
It's $20. I need a verdict.
If you like a good point and click adventure, you're in the right place, and I would say buy it.
Sounds good. Next up, Glover, developed by Pico Interactive, published by Cubite Interactive, released February 27th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, for $19.99. The cult classic from the 90s returns. Glover is a charming 3D platformer where you control a magical glove on a quest to restore balance to the kingdom. Roll, jump, and manipulate your magic ball to solve puzzles, overcome challenges, and defeat the evil glove threatening the world. There's a ball in here, so I gotta know, Jacob, does it qualify for?
In terms of pinball?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, it's more platforming and puzzles.
Oh, yeah. All right, so what's Glover?
So, hold on, sorry, I have to pause again, or turn off my mic. Sorry, it's getting worse, like, my sinuses are getting worse as the night goes on. Anywho, nice. So Glover is a puzzle platformer that I remember from my days of youth on the Nintendo 64. And the only thing I ever knew about it when I was a kid is that at one point Best Buy was selling it for $10, which was the cheapest I'd ever seen a Nintendo 64 game being sold brand new for, which in my eyes, I was just like, huh, that doesn't sound like a good sign. But I like every once in a while, like I'll run into somebody who has like fond memories of this game, or they're like, wow, that game was absolute hell. So when they re-released it for modern consoles, I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, sign me up. I've got to see what all the hubbub is about. And you play as this anthropomorphic glove who balances on top of a ball, and you just have to like move around and like usually by staying on top of the ball, but you also use the ball to solve puzzles. And usually that involves getting the ball from point A to point B over different surfaces, through different liquids, avoiding traps, you know, pushing buttons. Like sometimes you'll have to like throw the ball or like toss it to wherever. And yeah, like it's really not a whole lot more than that. Like there are like different like things that you have to avoid and enemies and stuff like that, but it's really not the most exciting game. And it was just like, as I'm playing it, I was just like, oh yeah, I can see why like this ended up on clearance pretty quick. And I gotta say, the controls are absolutely wonky as hell. So like, and this happens with all of those 3D platformers from way back in the day, the camera is what will make or break it for you. And for whatever reason, the devs decided that the camera could only move around you in one way. Like, so it only moves around in, I don't remember if it's clockwise or counterclockwise, but it's not like you can reverse the direction and actually really control the camera. It's, you're really? Still from a very, yeah, like you can't move it back the other way. You just have to keep turning it. And it is a really ass backwards way of being able to try to figure out what you're doing. And it makes solving puzzles like unnecessarily difficult. Like, and it bothered the hell out of me too.
And I was a glitch or something. Cause that seems weird to only have one direction of a camera work.
That's how it worked for me. Like, and I just chalked it up to like, oh, okay, well, this is probably what everyone was complaining about way back in the day. And I even let my kids play it, cause I was just like, oh yeah, you could get to see what some platformer games from way back in the day was. And my youngest was like, he was all over it because he's like, oh, heck yeah. Like the glove looks cute and all that other kind of stuff. He didn't make it past the tutorial level. He was like, yeah, screw this. I'm going to go off and play something better. So he's been playing Spyro again as of late and Little Kitty Big City. And, yeah, it's just like Glover's not like it's an offensively bad game. It's just the controls are absolute ass.
Yeah.
And it's just, I wish it was better.
I was looking forward to this one. I'm kind of bummed to hear this one didn't turn out that great. I'm looking at some of the screenshots. The visuals confuse the shit out of me. Some of the things are like smooth in HD and other things are hyper pixelated.
Yeah. Like
I don't get that. Like, what's the design decision there?
I don't know. Cause I mean, this isn't considered a remaster, is it?
I don't think it's a full.
I didn't think remaster, it was.
It's like smoothed out a bit. I could see some of the textures are smoother. Some of the sprites are cleaner. I don't really know.
I mean, that was part of the thing, because there are like different filters that the game gives you, that you can mess with. I never noticed any difference between any of them. I don't know if it's like you have to have a certain kind of TV setup or like computer setup for this like to actually matter, But yeah, I wasn't impressed with it. It's just like, as I said, it's like, it's not offensively bad. It's just, there's way better games that do this.
I could use work.
Yeah.
Especially the camera, I guess. $20, I need a verdict.
So let me put it to you this way. For $20, on console, I would say, like, I would leave it at as a try it. Like, if you've got nostalgia for this title, you know, then maybe go for it. But otherwise, like, it's a real hard sell. Now, with PC, I could see somebody making mods. Oh, are you serious?
And my notes just mentioned console.
Glover PC game.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, it's on Steam. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, it came out in 22 on Steam. There you go.
All right. So, honestly, like, I could see people, like with the Steam version, I could see people making mods to fix the camera and all that kind of stuff. So, for me, that would be the place to play this game. Like, console, I was not having, like, I wasn't having fun. Neither were my youngest kid. Like, it's very much a product of its time. And without some really, what would you think would be simple improvements, like, without them, I don't know if it really justifies, like, paying the full 20 for.
Yeah. Oh, well, next game to talk about is Alter Age, developed by X-Create, published by Chemco, released March 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Arga has been training daily to prove himself superior to his father, who holds the title of the strongest in the world. During this process, he awakened the class Soul Alter, a unique skill that changes the forms of himself and his companions between grown-up and preteen. Sometimes a youth, sometimes a boy, he faces great trials with his companions. Bree, what is going on in Alter Age?
So this is a turn-based JRPG style game, and I've heard good things about X-Create, so I was actually interested to try this one. When you start, you have 5 difficulty levels to choose from: unparalleled, easy, normal, hard, and very hard. I'm here for the story, so I went with easy. The opening shows a dark-haired youth named Arga leaving flowers at his mother's grave. He talks to the grave with a sweet little conversation about how he doesn't understand why his father left, when his mother got sick, and now he's 23, stuff like that. And there is a challenge for him to fight the top fighter in his town, or his village, Melty. And he wants to be strong enough to do it so that he can leave the village. Melty's a monster tamer class, and she has a pet monster in Momo at her side. We meet her again later in the game, too. Arga has finally unlocked his class, the Soul Alter, and it makes him younger. Whatever it is, it causes a distraction, and we finally win the fight against Melty of our own power, and we can leave to go find our father, Leogrado, the strongest among bravers. Fighters in this world that pass a bunch of trials are known as bravers. To become a braver, you also have to register with the Bregaria Society and be on the path in the first place. It's all very formal. So we're off to sign up with our class unlocked and no idea what to use it for, except to get out of uncomfortable situations with women by turning into a little kid, which is quite comical. So our special skill, like I said, is to transform into a preteen, which will alter our conversations. Some NPCs may deal with you differently. Some dungeons might require you to complete it, because changing the alter in battle also changes the outcome of the fight. I'll explain more of that in a moment. Based on our class skill, the society recommends that we party up for our registration, and we get paired with 2 preteens. One really quiet named Elsie, and the other really energetic named Lilieka. Lily claims to be 222 years old, having reincarnated 4 times, and is a super grandmaster flame fighter. Elsie is just a mage who heals. They're both seeking a party because they're about to lose their society assistance for minors. There's a lot of depth to the story. I was surprised. And when we use our class to get younger, they both get older, so that can help in battles or in puzzle situations in dungeons. Like, there's a spot where you need to break the ground to get to the other part of the dungeon, and so you need the weight of the older. So you switch so that Arga is young and the two ladies are older, and then there's enough weight to collapse the floor and get down. So there's different like puzzle elements, and then there's different combat benefits as well to having the soul alter their age. We're also given something called a wing charm from the chief before we leave that speeds up walking. There's a lot of mechanics in this game that are just like really fun and make it easy to breeze through. You can easily toggle that on and off. You also get a safe bell that helps lower the chances of battle, and a bell that increases encounters as a gift for saving a worker in a dungeon. And you can toggle your age on the main screen as well as in battle. Another point with the safe bell, you can find field mana spots and that will clear out entire area of monsters. And claiming the spot gives your team permanent stat upgrades, so it's good to explore the world and find all those little spots while you're leveling up. Once you've done your starter trials, you get a dagger that allows you to do a kind of fast travel called shifting, which I accidentally softlocked myself.
Fun.
Until I figured out how to do the shifting, because that was not clearly explained to me. But for side quests, you also have the move to client option, which fast travels you back to where the quest giver is so you can complete it, which is very handy. And then you can use your dagger to shift back to the area you were at. And once I figured that out, I was fine. Team-wise, we get battle arrays that can be set for normal state or altered state, including switching the mid-battle, which is really just like a nice strategic thing for fighting. You can manually save anywhere on the map. You have 10 slots to do that. The game also gives you ample opportunity to save before boss fights, because it will ask you if you want to proceed. Also, you auto-heal after battle. Woot! Each major story section or trial seems to reward you with a new thing or mechanism that you can use in battle. Like, you get the Altar Rush, which is a meter that fills up and lets you do a big group attack, particularly useful for boss battles. You get summoning stones that allow you to summon and get more altar states, and so on. There's also unique monster battles that appear randomly in the world. Like any good JRPG, there's plenty of homes for you to just walk into and steal other goods and from chests and stuff to benefit your own journey. And for some reason, there are chinchillas everywhere, like they're pets or something. I don't know why chinchillas, but that was a feature of the world. Leveling up your character is easy. Skills come automatically at certain levels, and there are seeds to upgrade your stats that you find for free in battles or dropped as items on the map. You can also upgrade your weapons with item stones. There's a cooking section to the game once you get a little further in. You can cook using three types of ingredients. You can cook from recipes, or you can just experiment and come up with roasted mush. If you succeed at cooking an actual recipe, you can use the resulting food to up your stats as well. There's a composting feature where you can take supplies you don't need, like gross pelts that are rotten or something that you get. And these all relate to achievements as well. When you get enough points in your composter, you get an item called a Phantom Star, which is used to expand your passive skills, which you don't get until like halfway through the levels, like around level 50 or something, I think is when you start getting passive skills. So there's a good amount of depth to that, even though you're not doing a lot of customization with your character upgrades. The sprites actually have a lot of movement and interest to them. I really like the artwork in this one. The character art is really well done. The music was good. I liked this one. I felt the dialogue was well written. The pacing was fast enough for my attention span. The leveling was also fast. The plot was pretty direct. The side quests give you a little more insight into the characters. The premise of altering age sounded weird to me when I first read the description of the game, but it was way more fun to play with than I would have thought. I wouldn't let that weird concept deter you from a fun experience.
Cool. Well, it is a $20 game. I'm not sure if this is going to be a new price point for Kemco or if this is just a one-off. Most X-Create games are $14.99. This one's $20. What are your thoughts on Alter Age?
I mean, if you like classic JRPG, I'd say give this one a chance. The mechanics were fun. The story was entertaining. It's a buy it for me.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, next game to talk about is Blow It Up, developed and published by Brain Seal, released February 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $7.99. Blow It Up is a physics destruction game with light puzzle elements where you shoot bombs to destroy your enemies who are hiding behind tower-like structures. Master 7 unique bombs in a realistic physics simulation and explore over 70 levels of mayhem and destruction. Jacob, what is Blow It Up?
Let's just call what it is. It's Angry Birds with worse graphics and a lot of blocks. Like,
how are these worse graphics? I think it looks pretty good. It's just voxel graphics.
I'm getting there. Chill out. So here's the thing. Like, I looked at this, like, you know, when Joe's asking, like, oh, hey, do you want to review this? Please, I'm desperate. I love you. All right, so he didn't exactly say it that way, but that's how I imagined it. Anyway, so, you know, I'm looking at this, and it's just like, oh, it's going to be like a simple, like, Angry Birds game, blah, 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 blah. And I fire it up, and I'm not impressed by the graphics. I'm not impressed by the gameplay and all that kind of crap. In fact, there are times when the puzzles are a tad cheap and the quote-unquote enemies have not dispersed like they're supposed to. But god damn it, if these puzzles, like, if they didn't ramp up in their difficulty and their, I'm not going to use that word, but they do make the effort to differentiate themselves from one level to the next. It is not just a simple cookie cutter thing. And I really wanted to hate this game. I really did. I don't like the art style. I think it's a ripoff of other stuff, but damn if they didn't do it well. Like, it's pretty much an Angry Birds clone, and you're moving around through this, like, little overworld, and it almost seems like it was just like it's like two different games that are just get mashed together, and like it's like there was some sort of top-down RPG that just never went anywhere, and they had, like, an Angry Birds clone that wasn't going anywhere, and they were just like, what if we just combine the two? And so you have to walk around this map to get to each of the different puzzles, and as you go through the puzzles, you earn coins, and if you earn coins, you can move on to new areas, you can unlock different types of bombs. And so one of them is, like, it explodes if you... like if you hit it at the right time. Another one drops, like, complete, you know, vertically, like just drop, like just dead drops wherever you hit the button to stop it at. Another one fires these, like, little machine gun pistol things, and so you have, like, much like Angry Birds, you have to plan out what you're going to be firing as you do it. And so there's going to be, like, a lot of trial and error as you figure out what like what surfaces will do what, like what birds can blast through certain materials and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I had a fun time with it. I didn't want to, but I did.
Why did you want to hate it?
Because I just thought, like, because I looked at, like, how it is and, like, what kind of gameplay it is, and I was just like, this is cheap shit that anyone else could do. Like, or not anyone else could do, but, like, I was expecting this to be, like, 100% pure shovelware. Like, clone, knockoff, completely unoriginal gameplay and puzzles that, you know, certain other devs that we, you know, regularly review their games on this show, you know, shell out on a monthly basis, almost weekly and sometimes. But, like, this one... Yeah, I was cool with. Again, I didn't want to be. They have my respect.
On the flip side, I'm looking at this like, this looks really friggin' cool. I would love to try this game. It's only $8. Wow, I should give this a go. Because I had fun with Angry Birds and Boom Blocks and on the Wii and stuff like that. Physics explosion shit just seems fun to me, and it seems really affordable. So for $8, what's your verdict?
Honestly, for $8, yeah, I'd go with it. Like, if you liked Angry Birds back in the day, this is right up your alley. I I still don't think that the graphics are anything to get excited about or even no, but I also don't think that, well, you know what? I will use the word. I didn't find there to be anything unique about the look of the game.
Unique.
And so it was just, yeah, like so much of the game just does absolute nothing for me, but I couldn't stop. Like I couldn't put it down. I really enjoyed it.
Substance over style.
Yeah, it really is.
Cool. All right, next up, Harmony Chronicles, Demon of the Void, developed by Jet Dog Studio, published by Ocean Media, released February 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. After her incredible adventures, Mona, the warrior of Goddess Harmony, prepares to meet her divine protector before a magic portal transports her to a world on the brink of collapse. Mona discovers she's arrived at the once thriving interdimensional University of Magic, which has become a shadow of its former self. Bree, what is going on in Harmony Chronicles Demon of the Void?
Well, in the sequel, you can expect more of the same point-and-click hidden object adventures. As we continue Mona's journey as the new warrior of the goddess Harmony, we're fighting against her brother, the god of chaos. Our trusty talking book is back to help us explain what's going on, and he still looks as ratty and goofy as ever. We also get another talking book at some point later in the game. Now we have the professor joining us on our journey. He's gotten younger because of the Fountain of Youth, and we've got to stop an insatiable demon of the void, or all is doomed. The story is full of myth and legend. You get to meet the Sphinx, which is really meowvelous. And the dialogue is fun, like in the cat section where everything is full of cat puns. You meet Sir Lancelot. At some point, Mona says, "Hold your horses," to a centaur, and I rolled my eyes.
God damn it.
The game is fully voice acted and the art is well done. You have good solid character art for the NPCs, but no idea what Mona looks like because it's all first person. This game, like the previous one in the series I reviewed, is very, very heavy on the hidden object puzzles. If you click wrong too many times, the screen will freeze over for you for a few seconds, making it impossible to do anything. Sometimes the hidden object puzzle is a list of things. Sometimes it's shadow pictures and you need to match the shapes or find pairs of things. So there's a good variety, at least, for doing that many hidden object puzzles. And the rest of the puzzles are like jigsaws and mechanisms. There is also some bonus content after you complete the main story, including a music player, bonus jigsaw puzzles of the various characters and scenes in the game, and a whole bonus chapter. The music is pretty solid, big sweeping fantasy pieces. It's worth a listen. It's like way better than what you would normally get with a game like this. I did have some hiccups with the game. I started the game and at some point there was like some freezing and I had to skip the story to get anywhere. And eventually I reloaded the game and it loaded the main title screen and it just sat on a loading screen and wouldn't do anything. I reported it to the publisher and they said they're working on a patch to hopefully fix that from happening to anybody else. Eventually I got the idea to delete my save and start over, and that fixed the issue at least, and I was able to play through the game. So hopefully that doesn't happen to anybody else, but of course, you know,
how much time did you lose?
I broke the game. I lost maybe an hour or two.
Okay, so not terrible, but
but the game isn't like super long to begin with. So you know, it was irritating to have to redo, you know, some of that stuff for sure. But yeah, this is very similar to the last game in the series, Chaos Realms. So if you liked that one, this is great. Heavy on the hidden object puzzles with some jigsaw puzzles mixed in. I liked the voice acting. The story was interesting. Yeah.
Cool. Well, it is a $10 game. What are your thoughts on Harmony Chronicles Demon of the Void?
I'm going to give this a try it because of the issues I ran into having to reset my save. Otherwise, if you really like hidden object puzzles, point and click games, and you're willing to take the risk, just buy it. The price is good. like I said, the game worked fine after I ran into that initial set of issues. I don't know what the issue was, but they are looking into it. Cool. So if you like the first one or you like the style of game, go for it. It's a good price.
All right. A couple of quickies next. We got Sugarbound, developed and published by Synergy Circle Games. Released March 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99, Windows for $4.99, bundle for $7.99. The human kingdom is facing a food shortage crisis, and the only option to survive is defeating the monsters from a mythical land called Sugarbound. Only a master patet... What the... I don't know that word.
What?
Patissier?
Patissier?
Patissier? I guess so. I have never seen that word in my life.
What does it mean?
Patisserie is like, you know, pastry. Like, so
oh, yeah, pastry. It just, yeah. It's French for pastry.
Fancy term for French. Pastry chef.
Yeah.
How do you say a patisserie?
Patissier, probably.
Patissier?
Pizzle.
Pizzle?
Yeah, pizzle.
Only a master pizzle is able to transform the defeated monsters into edible food. Chloe Fondant is the only hope humanity have to survive and to eat delicious cakes. Jacob, what is Sugarbound?
So Sugarbound is a simple platforming game where you're really just trying to get to the end of the level, and most of the time you have to avoid various monsters, beings. It's just like all these like different bakery items have come to life, like gingerbread men. There's this, I think it's supposed to be like a Macron, and like one of those like kind of sandwich cookies. It looked more like a burger though, so I'm not entirely sure. But then you also have traps like these donuts that have spikes that shoot out of them, or candy canes that have been broken in it. No, all right. I'm looking at gameplay footage. That thing is a damn burger. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, it's just all sorts of foods then. But anyways, so you have to get from point A to point B, and you only have so many hearts that you're able to do it with, so, you know, don't waste them. It's fine as a $5 game. As part of your achievements, you have to collect X amount of certain types of food, which come out whenever you kill an enemy. And frankly, like, it's just, it's very simple. It's straightforward. There, you don't have to put too much thought into it. However, I did have issues when, like, dropping from a certain height. Like, you had to be very particular with how you were landing on some of the enemies, because otherwise it would register as, like, you got like, damaged by them instead of you damaging them. And I don't know if it's just, like, the hitbox or whatever it is, doesn't fully match, like, the character models or what. But for the gingerbread man, I was having a hell of a time judging like where I was actually supposed to be, like to be able to like successfully take them down instead of them killing me. For $5, like there's worse things you could spend it on, like, but you know, or better things too, but, yeah, like it wasn't bad. It's just there.
Anything else to say about it?
Not really. No. The music isn't particularly memorable. Like the art style is just kind of whatever. Like I didn't find it to be particularly honestly, the bigger challenge was trying to figure out where the heck I was supposed to be able to land on the gingerbread men's head than the actual levels themselves. So it's not bad, but it's not that good either.
Yeah, well, it's $5 on Xbox, $5 on Windows, $8 for both. What do you think?
If you care about achievement stacks, then yeah, get both. Otherwise, just pick your platform of choice and go with that. Even then, it's a quick little completion. I don't try it.
All right. Next up, Cats and Seek Dino Park, developed by Noobzilla, published by Silesia Games, released March 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Switch for $2.99. A trip to the Dino Park may sound awesome, and it is, but what if the trip was also full of cats? A find and pet. If you have a penchant for seeking cats, the Dino Park would be thankful for your help spotting them all. Bree, tell us about the kitties.
More cute hidden cats!
Yay!
This time at a Dino Park. Yay. And oh my god, they all have names.
Oh,
each
man.
And every cat, each and every cat you find has a unique name and a little bio. Like Kramer, who mastered the art of comedic timing, especially during litter box mishaps. And you can click on the cats again to read their bio if the auto timing went by too quickly for you the first time. There are three special cats for you to find on each level, and you get achievements for. They also have bios. There's 500 cats to find, so there's 500 different cats with names and little bios, and it's very cute. You also have other things to find, like bees and birds. There are moving clouds that you can make vanish to find things hidden behind, boxes you can open to find cats or ghosts or other goofy things inside. And the idea of the game is to pet all the cats by finding them. All 500 across five levels, so there's about 100 cats per level, and then, you know, some additional little things, like the birds and bees. And, of course, they meow when you pet them. Other features of the game include a color palette system, so you can color your game how you want to make it easier to see. You can even adjust the brightness. There's also a hint button that refreshes about every 30 seconds, with no penalty to using it. Additionally, while there is a timer on the game, so you can try and find things quickly if you choose, there are no achievements related to getting the cats in speedy times, making this much more relaxing than Cats in Seek Osaka.
Yay!
Yay! The line art is super cute. Like, many of the types of scenes are just, like, cool things going on, often comedic, to keep your interest while you search. Like, there were some meme-y things. Like, you know, there's the meme of the guy who's, like, looking, he's holding his girlfriend's hand, and he's looking back at this other, like, there's totally one of those going on. There's all sorts of just, you know, cute things going on in the scene. The music is decent. But there are only like three tracks on a loop, and it gets a little repetitive, and I think I only ever got one song. Go find cute cats!
$3, verdict.
Yes, buy it.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure. The price
it's
is
expensive.
Right. Oh, I know.
A wallet breaker. Yeah, I no, bought it already. It. I'm going to play this of weekend. Course. Next up, a preview of Alex's Journey to the Grave, developed and published by Violet Horizons Productions. It's releasing Q4 on Steam. Two people meet in a strange critical moment, changing their lives forever. An intimate visual novel exploring the nature of love, fate, tragedy, and the will to live on. Aki, it's your turn, finally. What's up in Alex's Journey to the Grave?
Okay. So in this, you're not playing as a single character. You're playing as two of them, a young man and a young woman. Both of them happen to have the same name, Alex. And then it goes straight to hell. This is an incredibly sad game. It's on purpose. It is about pain and suffering and depression and death. So, you know, it's glorious and happy, obviously the most happy game you'll ever play. This only has the very first chapter because it is
a demo, a preview.
Demo. There's going to be six chapters in total, I believe, is what it said, because it does tell you at the end of the demo. I believe it was six chapters is what it's going to end up being. In it, you switch between the two characters. They both are pretty unhappy people. One of them is clearly going the way of the dodo and is looking for some way to help other people around them because they're just so miserable and unhappy with that knowledge. Because these are both, they're young people. They're not like 50-year-olds or anything. They're, you know, one's in university, and I think one of them's past university. And it was kind of hard to read this, to be quite quite honest, because it dealt with, you know, both of them feeling just very depressed, trying to reach out to people, anyone online, really, because they didn't have any real life friends. They brought up concepts like self-injury and stuff like that. So there is a bunch of trigger warning stuff for anyone who goes to play this.
Yeah, the Steam page mentions depression, anxiety, self-harm, suicide, and loss and grieving.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to read some of this because, shockingly, I went through a long period of time where I had such issues and did such things to myself. So reading this, like, it was very, very, very difficult through parts of this. It is a bittersweet visual novel, I think, is what it's going to end up being, because these two do obviously find each other and confide in each other and start to feel a little better, but one of them is still going the way of the dodo. So obviously it's not going to end in a happy-go-lucky thing, and it's pretty obvious that they're going to go the way of the dodo within the first, like, 10 minutes of the game, so I'm not really spoiling anything. No one outright says, oh yes, I'm dying, but it's very heavily, heavily hinted at.
I mean, the title of the game is Alex's Journey to the Grave. That kind of spells it out there.
Well, you never know. It could have been someone else's grave. So, yeah.
It's only a short demo. The demo is available on Steam for people to check out right now if they would like to. Is this something people should keep their eyes on? Should they try the demo? Should they wishlist it, ignore it? What are your thoughts?
I think if you don't have issues with the things that this deals with, I think it is going to be a really good thing for you to read, just so you can understand some of these issues, because it hits very hard and it hits home really well with this. This is really well made. So if you haven't had these issues before, it's something nice to look at, just so you can see, you know, what friends and family might be going through, to, you know, just help you reach out and such. If this stuff does trigger you, you may not want to read this, because it's going to hit. It made me cry. So, yeah, it was good, but oh, it hit right in the feels. I thoroughly enjoy it. I think it's totally worth wishlisting. And when it comes out, if the writing stays like this first chapter has been, I am probably going to be like, it's a buy it. So,
well, hopefully we can take a look at it when it releases later this year. Again, it is planned for a Q4 2025 release. If that changes, who knows? We'll find out. But yep. We got one final game to talk about tonight, and from there we're going to Kids Corner. George, take it away.
Kids Corner with Jacob and friends.
Last game is Care Bears to the Rescue, developed by Polygoat, published by Forever Entertainment, released March 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $14.99. Sunshine Bear, Grumpy Bear, Share Bear, Cheer Bear, and Good Luck Bear are on a mission to save the Silver Lining from Bluster's most devious and daring plan so far. A ginormous, uncontrollable bad seed is wreaking havoc across the Silver Lining. If it isn't stopped soon, the entire land and its inhabitants will be in big trouble. Jacob, what is going on in Care Bears to the Rescue?
Care Bears to the Rescue, Game of the Year, first off, is a platformer, is a simple platforming game starring the Care Bears, believe it or not, who I didn't even realize like had like a current cartoon show. I mean, I used to watch the show when it was on Disney Channel during like those free preview weekends for us poors back in the late 80s, early 90s. And yeah, it's there are these various teddy bear, well, I mean, they're bears, But each of them has like a special symbol on their chest, and it's like it has to do with their power. Like there's Grumpy Bear who has like a rain cloud on his, and in this game, his is some sort of beam that I mean, it's kind of hard to explain because if you're like, oh, well, it's just going to be like the old cartoon shows. No, it's not. So I guess it's easier to discuss the game then. So in the game world, these, this evil seed has taken a root, or bad seed. It's not necessarily evil, but it's bad. Has taken root and it's changing up a bunch of, the different creatures and plants, in the land. Very similar to like what you'd see from like the old Sonic the Hedgehog thing. Like, you know, when, you landed on an enemy, like a little baby animal guy would like hop out and hop away. So it's very similar to that. And what you have to do is that you can either use your, like your little power, like the beam of light that shoots out of your belly, or you can just try to dodge them. And all of the bears that you're able to play as, which is five of them from the start, each one of them has their own unique. Thank you. Okay. Each one of them has their own unique power, which, like for instance, Grumpy Bear, like when he shoots his beam at this special like icon, which looks like the rain cloud. Usually that's used for like elevators and stuff like that. Good Luck Bear, who's a green bear with two four-leaf clovers on his belly, like they create platforms. Another one creates light in darkness where like, you know, so like you can walk around caves and see what you're doing. So it's all that kind of stuff. And as you're going through all the levels, you have to collect these stickers, which are really there just to like to look at. Like they don't really impact the gameplay at all. So you're moving through a bunch of platforming things, but then you have the boss battles, which are actually closer to shoot 'em ups than anything. And so you're flying around in these little, sometimes it looks like an airplane. Sometimes it looks like a spaceship, but you're flying after, the different bosses. And what's beautiful about it is that this game, there is no you never have to like speed run or anything. You can always take this game at your own pace. Like, so if your character loses all health, phew, that's fine. You just start back at like the last checkpoint that you were at. And if you're at a boss battle, that boss, like you just have to get the boss's, energy down to zero. Like you can take as much time as you want. Like your character can constantly crash or get blown up by like the enemy missiles or whatever, and reappear. Like you just do stuff at your own pace. And especially for like a licensed kids game, this felt so nice and relaxed. Like it's a cozy platformer, through and through. And one of the nice things is that you can do couch, co-op with it with up to four people. I think it's up to four.
Yeah, four.
I was thinking about it. And I just realized, like, I didn't know if there was potentially more. That's
four.
Okay. But yeah. And so you can play with up to four. So if it's two, we found it to be, you know, very like two is optimal for this. However, if you decide to do four, which my family and I did, it will quickly devolve into pure chaos because the camera doesn't like, it doesn't split like how, like in the Lego games, like it'll, the camera will just suddenly split so you can keep an eye on what the heck you're doing. In this, it will only stick around with one of the players. And so you can easily lose all the other three. Like you can try to figure out where the heck they are on the screen, or if they're off the screen. And eventually, like what the game will do is that it'll just bring you back. And yeah, technically you lost your health, but you reappear and all somebody has to do is just touch you and boom, like you're tagged back in. So it can be frustrating to get from point A to point B if you've got a full four player lineup. But other than that, like, this was a lot of fun. It's simple. It's easy. You don't have to do that much thinking with it. And you never feel like, you know, you never once feel rushed in this game. It was a really pleasant surprise, to be honest.
Cool. Visually, I like the style of the game too. It's got a bright, colorful, friendly, yeah, welcoming look to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's nice. $15. What would you say?
That's it?
Care Bears to the
Are
rescue.
Are you serious?
$14.99.
Wow.
Yep.
Dang. Especially like when other licensed kid games that we have on here, they're like $40 or $50 and they deliver way less than this game. Yeah, $15 is a steal. Wow. I was not expecting that.
I'm well, if you did your research.
No, I never do research. Yeah, you should know that by now. Like,
yeah, I said if you did research.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or if you just listen to the intro.
No.
That is it for this episode. We made it through. Thanks to the three of you for being here, hanging out, keeping me company as we talk news, reviews, and all that other fun stuff. Music this episode, gonna play something from Animal Crossing. How about that?
All right.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
Your show.
Cool beans. It is my show.
Well, yeah, I mean.
No, it isn't.
Whose is it?
It's not.
It's ours. It's all of ours.
Oh.
That's cute.
Good of you to say, comrade.
Yes.
We're all fired.
Yes. Well. Samba time. Bossa and the Samba.